It's Tuesday, June 25th. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight, is Edward Snowden a double agent? Naomi Wolf and Webster Tarpley asked that question. And counterterrorism head Richard Clark says the Hastings accident is consistent with a car cyber attack. And we show you a blast from the past. Alex Jones confronts the DMV on biometrics and blood draws all the way back in the 1990s. All this and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story tonight, we're asking the question, is Edward Snowden a double agent? Because several prominent voices on the left are speculating that the truth behind the former CIA analyst and NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden could be more convoluted. The likes of Webster Tarpley and Naomi Wolf are embracing the notion that Edward Snowden is somehow too good to be true, and that what he's doing must be part of a wider plot that actually serves to benefit the intelligence agencies and the NSA, or as Webster Tarpley calls it, a limited hangout. Something that distracts, according to the likes of Wolf and Tarpley, from, you know, the real levity of criminality in NSA spying, and also serves as a means of redirecting attention away from other issues, such as the impending escalation of the war in Syria as the US prepares to arm the rebels. So, is Edward Snowden a double agent? Is he a shill? Is this all staged, this chase across the globe from Hong Kong to Russia onto Ecuador as we expect him to go? Well, Naomi Wolf's central point that she makes in her article, my creeping concern that the NSA leaker Edward Snowden is not who he purports to be, is, quote, some of Snowden's emphases seem to serve an intelligence police state objective rather than to challenge them. She goes on to say, real whistleblowers are completely focused on their act of public service and trying to manage the jeopardy to themselves and their loved ones. They don't tend to ever call attention to their own self-sacrifice. That is why they are heroes, among other reasons. But a police state would like us all to think about everything we would lose by standing up against it. That's what she says Snowden is primarily doing with his rhetoric. Quote, it's actually in the police state's interest to let everybody know that everything you write or say everywhere is being surveilled and that awful things happen to people who challenge this. She also draws attention to Snowden's slick media presentation skills and makes the illusion that he's been professionally briefed on his talking points. And while, you know, no one is above suspicion, we know for years there have been rumors about the true motivations behind Julian Assange. I think there's a tendency amongst people in the alternative media to believe that nobody could ever sacrifice everything and stand up for what's right, as Snowden has apparently done, without it somehow being staged or scripted. There's always this kind of suspicion behind these individuals. And my skepticism of the claim that Snowden is some kind of double agent is borne out by the fact that from personal experience, virtually every day I read messages from people saying, you know, Alex Jones works for Israel, Alex Jones works for the CIA, Alex Jones works for Stratfor. Because some people find it easier, more palatable to invent conspiracies about Alex rather than accepting the fact that he's the real deal. Because it makes Alex's success in what he does easier to swallow for those who find themselves frustrated by their lack of success. So there's this kind of defeatist loser mentality that those who stand up for freedom and are successful, or those who, you know, merely attract media attention for standing up for liberty, can't possibly be doing it for the right reasons, can't possibly be genuine and real. So unless we have clear evidence that Edward Snowden is a double agent or a shill, and from what I've read out of both Naomi Wolf and Webster Tarpley, that evidence has not been forthcoming. You know, let's get behind Snowden, let's support what he stands for, let's give people who risk their livelihoods for freedom the benefit of the doubt. Because if we constantly attempt to tear down icons of liberty, then we're only doing the establishment's work for them. And as George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. So again, it's an analysis in not believing that somebody could be real simply because they successfully stand up for liberty. We need to be more positive, more optimistic, and get behind individuals like Edward Snowden. And staying with Snowden news, this is out of RT. Putin, Snowden still in Moscow airport transit zone, won't be extradited. Russia's president says former NSA contractor Edward Snowden is still in the transit zone of Moscow's Sheremetyevo airport. Vladimir Putin says that any accusations of Russia related to Snowden are, quote, nonsense and rubbish. Speaking to journalists in Finland, Putin said there is no extradition treaty between Russia and the US. He also said that Snowden did not commit any crime on the territory of Russia. So, of course, we had the bait and switch yesterday with the journalist boarding the plane to Havana, expecting Snowden to be on it. He wasn't, and for a time nobody knew where he was. Now he's apparently still in the Russian airport. Looks like he'll eventually make his way to Ecuador, where he'll be offered political asylum. Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, has come out all guns blazing again today, rejecting US demands that they turn in Snowden. But the ace in the hole, as far as the United States is concerned, and this is something that Mike Adams discussed in his article yesterday out of Natural News, is the fact that wherever Snowden ends up, don't expect Washington to have any respect for the rule of law in their efforts to throw him in a dungeon like they did with Bradley Manning. Because the US government has a history of conducting covert abductions of American citizens in Ecuador, including, as Adams denotes in this article, Greg Caton, who was kidnapped by US authorities, bundled on a plane back to Miami in 2009 after being put on an Interpol list alongside war criminals and international murderers, all for the crime of selling an anti-cancer rainforest herb. So they won't hesitate to break these rules to get their man. Don't expect them to play by the rule book in the pursuit of Edward Snowden. And in fact, he'd probably be safer holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in Moscow than he would in Ecuador itself, because obviously US authorities are less likely to invade Russian territory than they are Ecuadorian territory. So we'll continue to track Edward Snowden, staying with NSA news. This is out of Infowars.com. Congress insisted they be kept in the dark on NSA spying. Congress insisted it be kept in the dark on the NSA surveillance programs recently revealed by Edward Snowden. According to Dick Cheney, Darth Cheney, who approached lawmakers with an invitation for them to provide more oversight back in 2004, but was told by Congress, absolutely not. I said, do you think we ought to come back to the Congress in order to get more formal authorization? And they said, absolutely not. Everybody, Republican, Democrat, said, don't come back up here. It will leak. That's what they told Dick Cheney when he actually offered Congress the option to provide oversight to investigate the very same NSA surveillance programs now causing a global scandal. So 9 years before it emerged, with the revelations of Edward Snowden, congressional leaders were asked by Cheney if they wanted to provide oversight. They said, absolutely not. Every one of them gave a green light for the NSA to continue violating the Fourth Amendment. They were, quote, unanimous that it should continue. And so is it really any wonder that just 6% of Americans, according to recent polls, think Congress is doing a good job? Their very reason for existence is to be a check and balance against federal government abuse. And in this instance, and in many others, they instead acted as a rubber stamp for government abuse. 9 years later, this becomes a global scandal because Congress was perfectly happy to give the government a blank check. And we know why. It's the same people who are now calling for Snowden's arrest that gave the green light to the NSA back 9 years ago. The likes of John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Feinstein, Pelosi, they're all compromised, they're all in on it, and they're all in complete violation of the oath they swore to uphold and protect the Constitution by allowing this illegal NSA spying to continue, and in fact giving it the rubber stamp 9 years ago, according to Dick Cheney. Another article out of Infowars.com. Two-thirds of Americans support drones for homeland security missions. A new survey shows that two-thirds of Americans support the use of unmanned spy drones for, quote, homeland security missions, despite the fact that such missions will include identifying gun owners and tracking the location of individuals via their cell phones, according to government documents. The poll conducted by the Institute for Homeland Security A research consortium led by RTI International shows that 67% of Americans support the use of unmanned spy drones for, quote, homeland security missions, and that 63% support their use in fighting crime. So the question is, how many Americans would support the use of these domestic spy drones if they really knew what they were for? Not just as a precursor to raiding family farms for the dastardly crime of allowing some cows to wander onto their land, as we saw in North Dakota with the Brossard family back in 2011, but as CNET's Declan McCullough recently revealed from government documents, the DHS is now customizing Predator B drones, originally designated for overseas operations hunting terrorists, to, quote, carry out at-home surveillance tasks that have civil libertarians worried, identifying civilians carrying guns and tracking their cell phones. Homeland Security's specifications for its drones shall be, this is a quote, capable of identifying a standing human being at night as likely armed or not, meaning carrying a shotgun or rifle. And they also talk about intercepting the phone signals to get your precise location. So we've seen in other polls that a significant majority of Americans oppose using spy drones to issue speeding tickets, for example. And again, it just goes to show, if they really knew what these drones were being prepared for, identifying gun owners, tracking people via their cell phones, would two-thirds of the American people support it? Would police departments be getting millions of dollars in grants from the DHS to buy these spy drones? Again, we find that a lack of education on this issue is key in the feds being able to mislead Americans on the true agenda behind the rollout of domestic spy drones. As the FAA announced last year, 30,000 in US skies by 2020. And that will include, of course, insect-sized drones as well as the huge Predator B-style drones. Mike Adams out of Natural News reports, transhumanism debunked, why drinking the Kurzweil Kool-Aid will only make you dead, not immortal. And I talked about this last week on the Alex Jones Show. There's been a deluge of new interest in the predictions of futurist Ray Kurzweil in the aftermath of the Global Futures 2045 conference in New York last weekend, at which he spoke. Of course, we saw the big Drudge Banner headline last week about humans being able to upload their brains to computers by 2045. That's one of Kurzweil's predictions. But as I have emphasized, if you actually read Kurzweil's 1999 book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, and bear in mind that this guy is a respected futurist because almost every one of the predictions he made back in 99 came true over the next 10 years. He predicted the likes of Google Glass, the Kindle, the iPad, the iPhone, on-demand services like Netflix. Basically, every technological development occurred over the past 10, 15 years. Kurzweil predicted it. So that's why people are still listening to him. But there's a side to his brand of transhumanism that you're not being told. And that is that the technology that will allow people like Kurzweil to upload their brains to computers by 2045, dispense with their physical bodies, and basically become a kind of virtual reality avatar in a Matrix-style artificially generated reality, that will all be the sole domain of the elite. It's not going to be available to the masses because their plans for the rest of us, and this is what Kurzweil basically outlines in his own book. He won't say it publicly, but if you read his book, it's in there. What we've got to look forward to in their vision of the future is not very tasteful for us, because in his book, Kurzweil actually quotes Ted Kaczynski and gives his prediction credence that within decades, humans, the general public, not the elite, who will get all the life extension technology, but the rest of us will become superfluous and will either be sterilized out of existence or simply slaughtered en masse. That's what the elite have in store for us as they go through their transhumanist revolution. So in this article, Mike Adams succinctly outlines why the notion, as the elite are pursuing it, of uploading your mind to a computer does not represent immortality. It merely represents creating a copy of your own brain. Your body will still die. Your soul will not be able to live on inside a computer. is the quote from the article. In this plan, there is no mechanism to transfer your consciousness to the machine. So even if all three of these technologies are adequately developed, they still don't provide a way to merge your mind with a machine. Nothing more than a computer simulation of your brain. So Adams concludes basically that this will be a copy, a simulation. It won't be the original. And that transhumanism is a death cult that bears a stunning resemblance to the Heaven's Gate cult from back in the 1990s. Because even if you're able to make a copy of your brain and upload it to a computer, your soul, your consciousness will leave this mortal coil. The cult of transhumanism is for the elite only. And even if you are a part of it, it represents a spiritual holocaust that I want nothing to do with, and I'm sure many other people feel the same. Moving on. Kurt Nimmo writes, Richard Clark, Hastings accident consistent with a car cyber attack. Former US National Coordinator for Security, Infrastructure Protection and Counterterrorism, Richard Clark, told the Huffington Post on Monday that the fatal crash of a journalist Michael Hastings' Mercedes coupe is, quote, consistent with a car cyber attack. And as an addendum to this, just about an hour before we started recording this nightly news, one of Hastings' former friends, a former sergeant, in fact, went on Fox News and gave an interview. And we're going to have an article up on Infowars.com about this very shortly. He basically said that Hastings told him directly he was working on, quote, the biggest story ever involving the CIA. And then he completely rubbished claims that Hastings would be driving at high speed in the middle of the night. In fact, I believe his exact quote was, he drove like a grandma. So it was completely out of character for Hastings to be driving, you know, 100 miles down the street in the middle of the night. And of course, we know from his panicked emails he sent to his friends hours before his death that he thought he was being pursued by the authorities. So we're going to have an article out on that. But Clark, who is no tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist, he's no internet blogger. You know, he was the former counter-terrorist under two separate US presidents. He's now saying that evidence suggests it could have been a cyber hack on the onboard computer of the Mercedes, took control of the vehicle and ended up smashing it into a tree. Of course, the car basically exploded. And in this article, we point to research out of DARPA and other universities. Quote, currently there's nothing to stop anyone with malicious intent and some computer programming skills from taking command of your vehicle. After gaining access, a hacker could control everything from which song plays on the radio to whether the brakes work, writes Keith Barry, citing research conducted by the Center for Automotive Embedded System Security, a partnership between the University of California, San Diego, and the University of Washington. Now, Clark was careful not to directly implicate the government in hacking Hastings' car. He said, quote, so if there were a cyber attack on the car, and I'm not saying there was, I think whoever did it would probably get away with it. In the case of Michael Hastings, what evidence is available publicly is consistent with a car cyber attack. That's Richard Clark, former counterterrorism czar under two US presidents. And of course, we also know from the revelations of former MI6 agent Richard Tomlinson, the MI6, the British intelligence agency, discussed using similar methods to crash the car of Slobodan Milosevic back in the 1990s. And of course, the fatal car crash involving Princess Diana in 1997 bore numerous indications that her Mercedes was tampered with, an explanation which, of course, was shielded by the cover story that the driver, Henri Paul, was drunk when in fact blood samples were switched and Paul showed no signs of being over the limit. So it's a tactic that they've used before, or at least considered using before, in previous assassination attempts. Now Richard Clark saying it, we have the panicked emails from Hastings sent hours before his death claiming he was being pursued by the authorities. Now we have another one of his friends coming out on Fox News saying he was working on the biggest story ever about the CIA, and he basically believes that he could have been assassinated. So this story only continues to become more suspicious in the death of former Rolling Stone journalist Michael Hastings, who of course made many enemies in the establishment. Biometrics news now. Coming to America, Shanghai now requires ID finger scan. Shanghai residents will be required to have their fingerprints scanned while obtaining a new ID card starting from July 1st. The move is aimed to curb counterfeiting and the false use of ID cards. Basically, in Shanghai, the people who need to renew their ID card are now having to go to the local police office and give their fingerprints, like a criminal would, to be kept on a database stored forever. And, you know, if it's good enough for communist China, it must be good enough for America. Over the last month, of course, we've seen numerous stories about schools taking child's digital fingerprints without parental permission. And the Polk County School District in Florida, this made big headlines recently, made hundreds of children give iris scans before they could use the school bus. Parents were not told that they could opt out until 750 kids had been scanned, Minority Report style, simply to get on the school bus. So before we go to this classic clip from America Destroyed by Design here at the end of the show, just want to encourage you again to subscribe at prisonplanet.tv. Of course, the InfoWars Nightly News goes out first to prisonplanet.tv subscribers in high quality. It's later put on YouTube a day later or so. But your support is what allows us to do this. It funds the live show, the Alex Jones Show, which, of course, you get live streaming video access to as well. In addition to every Alex Jones documentary, numerous other documentaries that we put out, speeches, special events, all kind of additional content, and it funds our network. It enables us to exist and continue to hire more people and grow as the biggest alternative media platform in America and indeed the world at Infowars.com. So please give us your support at prisonplanet.tv. Stick around after the break. We're going to go to this clip. Don't go away.
Now you can watch the InfoWars Nightly News streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at infowars.com/show.
Johnny Appleseed was born during the Revolutionary War. He's not just a legend. And in more than five states, he introduced apples that had not even been grown in the colonies. Later, the seeds from plants he planted and cultivated and some of the varieties he developed spread across the United States. And it was Johnny Appleseed teaching the colonists and then the new Americans, after we won independence, the love of planting fruit trees that introduced that idea to North America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live, and to plant a garden.
Become the Johnny Appleseed of your community with seeds from the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsStore.com.
The simple act of planting fruits and vegetables and then tending them and taking care of them and then sharing them with friends and family is a revolutionary act against tyranny. The globalists, first and foremost, do not want us to be self-sufficient. The crony anti-free market capitalist, the fascist, are using socialism and collectivism to shut down societies. Stalin in Poland and in Ukraine and other areas starved on record more than 10 million people over 5 years by not letting them grow their own crops and collectivizing them. Mao killed between 65 million and 80 plus million people doing the same thing. The UN says they will use food as a weapon. They use genetic evil to attack the earth, and major GMO companies have been caught going into growth belts around the world, even where GMO is illegal, and planting seeds everywhere to infect the genetics of the original crops. Almost all of the thousands of varieties of Mexican corn has been infected. They are in a genetic war against everyone. That's why we have to get these seeds and not just plant them on our own gardens and not just give them as gifts to friends and family to plant spring and summer and fall gardens. I'm calling on you to go out into the green belts, to go out into the areas and plant secret gardens. No, not of marijuana, but of the hundreds and hundreds of incredible high quality vegetables and herbs and fruit plants that are here. lemons and oranges, the list goes on and on. They will grow plum trees, grape trees. They will grow almost everywhere in the U.S. We can literally, not just buying these products from InfoWarsStore.com, but from wherever you get them. This aggressive program literally just came to me one morning when I woke up about 4 a.m. realizing that we've got to counter their genetic war against us with original, real crops developed over eons on this planet. We have the lowest prices. We bought it in the biggest bulk that some of these companies have ever seen to ship this directly to you from the InfoWars Command Center. We stand for life. We stand for liberty. We stand for self-sufficiency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, click on the Seed Center, and as of taping this, we have the 7 top respected brands. We intend to continue to do research and find other companies, other specialties, other varieties to really take action.
The InfoWars Store Seed Center has the largest online selection of heirloom non-GMO seeds.
Check out these products from our newest supplier, Heirloom Organics.
The Medicine Garden for a natural remedy.
The Tea Garden that contains every important tea herb you can grow.
Fruit Lovers with 12 varieties.
And the Tobacco Pack, additive and pesticide free.
Join the gardening revolution today at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is a revolutionary action we're asking you to take. Plant seeds everywhere today. Nurture them, bring them to fruit, and pass on the knowledge to others. Become human again. Discover your roots in the soil. And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
Staying on the theme of biometrics, we're going to do a flashback to this clip from Alex Jones' 1997 documentary, America Destroyed by Design, which is, I remember, was one of the first Alex Jones films that I ever saw. And of course, the classic video of Alex getting arrested for refusing to thumb scan at the DMV. So we're going to go to that clip now.
Well, you've seen what's going on around the country and here in Austin, Texas, where this was produced. Now you're going to see me, Alex Jones, and about 100 other people go down to the Texas Department of Public Safety and protest thumb scanning, finger imaging for driver's license. Yes, everyone must get it. And according to the Federal Register, President Clinton would like to start random urine, blood, or other tissue sample testing at the driver's license facilities around the nation. Well, don't hear it from me. Hear it from newscast and our cameras that were there on the scene the fateful day that 100 Americans stood up to Big Brother.
Well, getting a driver's license caused quite a stink here in Austin today. You know, in Texas, if you want one of these, well, you have to give your thumbprints. But KISJ Carter shows you why some folks today said they don't want anybody scanning their body parts.
Go up, and if they come up and touch me in any way, I'm going to lay down peaceably and let the police state minions drag me away.
Alex Jones wants to renew his driver's license. He also expects to be arrested.
I'm going in there with my passport, my birth certificate, my driver's license, my W-2 form.
But he won't give a thumbprint. Moments after this interview, troopers did arrest him.
If you do not leave now, I will be forced to arrest
him. Sir, I'm here to get a driver's license. I have never had a criminal record.
Jones says fingerprinting gives government too much control. And the next thing you know, they'll ask for urine and blood samples. Rebecca Yoakum walked through the crowd of protesters to renew her license. She didn't mind giving her thumbprint.
I really don't see anything wrong with the thumbprinting, and it's kind of weird how everybody's protesting about it.
But the protesters believe if they don't speak up now, the requirements to drive could get even more personal. With your eye on Austin, I'm Jay Carter.
Alex Jones is now in an Austin jail, and he'll face a disorderly conduct charge. The DPS points out, by the way, that its database of thumbprints helped identify some of the victims of the tornado in Gerald last year, and they say this system helps and protects all of us.
I'm sorry, sir, you're just flat wrong. This has nothing to do with public safety and everything to do with the international tracking grid that's being set up. All you have to do is watch Lockheed Martin Marietta commercials, from the defense industry to Visa commercials. All down the line, they're pushing thumb scanning to buy and sell, and probably within 5 to 10 years, everybody's going to have to do this to buy and sell
And this is all for the IRS to gather intelligence on us. The DPS even admits it. It goes to the federal government. It's all hooked into a national database. And you see the free market supposedly engaged in this. It's all part of a grid of control. And some of you will say, well, what do we have to hide? It's called an invasion of privacy, ladies and gentlemen. It's called innocent until proven guilty. It's called a government that has a terrible track record of abusing its citizens and the IRS stealing from innocent people that have broken no laws being abused. I'm just so tired of this. Everything under the color of law. This is totally unconstitutional. Now let's get to the actual video of the actual protest.
Blood testing, urine testing, things of that nature. So for those of us that are not in the know, and for those of us who really are not in this, as you are, could you kind of explain what's going on here?
Sir, I have given you the executive order put in the Federal Register by Bill Clinton in 1997. He has announced it. He says that urine and blood testing that they plan to do nationwide is only for people 18 and under. It is for 25% of large state populations randomly selected, and they're thumb scanning us like criminals. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty?
I heard that. Several forms of identification.
I have eight forms of identification, from my passport to my old driver's license to my W-2 form, my tax form, to my social security number, to my car insurance, and I also have another picture ID. And that had better be enough for them, ladies and gentlemen. This is really getting out of control. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? Why are Americans laying around like sheep and allowing themselves to be treated like criminals? We're law-abiding citizens.
At what point do you expect, or do you expect at all, for the what you were talking about, the blood testing, the drug screening, is that really coming?
Sir, I have given you the federal documents that are mandating the states to do that. Clinton in 92 mandated the thumb scanning. It has been adopted by many of the states. Texas since 93. He mandated it in late 1997 for 98 to be implemented. Now, that's up to the states, and that's why we're drawing attention to this. Thumb scanning and no further. I'm against thumb scanning, but now they want this urine and blood testing. This is the slippery slope. And to those out there that say, what do I have to hide? I am innocent until proven guilty. I have no criminal record. Alex Jones has no criminal record, and we should not be treated like criminals.
I don't want to ask what you have to hide, but what is it that makes you so passionate about this?
Our government cannot be trusted. Even this month's Popular Mechanics talks about the government testing chemicals and biologicals on our people in the 1950s and 60s. The IRS, you've heard the hearings. There's CIA drug trafficking hearings going on right now in the Congress. This is on television. This government is controlled by a bunch of thugs, in my opinion, and I think a lot of bureaucrats are dupes to it. I just don't trust our government. And our founding fathers warned us not to hate our government, but to fear our government. I should not have to thumb scan and be in a computer. They also digitally capture your signature and your photograph. They could create any false identity they wanted to with your name and your social security number. And many government bureaucrats, from the IRS to the EPA, have been caught selling information. There are thousands of cases and convictions of this if people would just investigate it. This is an invasion of privacy. That's the most important thing. It's an invasion of privacy. There is no innocent until proven guilty in this country anymore, and Americans across the country have got to start standing up against Big Brother. And if they come up and touch me in any way, I'm going to lay down peaceably and let the police state minions drag me away. Okay? Let's get ready to go in here in about 5 minutes. God bless y'all for being here. People stand up. The New World Order, which is transnational, socialism for the rich, can only fail. We're going to defeat these people. We're going to turn their lives upside down. On this federal intrusion is out of control, and it is controlled by the transnational establishment. So it's time for everybody across America to start standing up, because we got people power. Peaceful patriots or the huge military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about. I think I'm afraid of the military-industrial complex that owns our media. I think I'm afraid of the foreign banks. That's who I'm afraid of, not of you people.
Good luck, sir. Hey, buddy. Hey, Jim. How you doing, Ellinger?
All right, sir, we're ready for you.
All right, they're ready for me. Let's go. Come over and get the pretty little red light. Come on. Isn't that pretty? And they'll put a nice little clinic in here in the next few years for urine and blood testing like Clinton wants. What do I have to hide? I'm a criminal. There we have it. Nice little pretty red light. Get that, Mike. There we have it. Your photograph, they capture your signature, they capture your thumbprint, and now Clinton wants urine and blood, and I've given that to the media, the actual federal register that he wants the states to implement. And I guess it tells them how to put clinics in, and it tells them how to urine and blood test law-abiding citizens, not under 18, like the media says.
Hi.
How you doing? I am here with 8 forms of identification. I have my passport, here's that, my name, and the form you asked me to fill out. I have no criminal record. My name is Alexander Emmerich Jones. Here is my passport. Here is my insurance. Here is another form of ID. Here is my old driver's license. Here is my birth certificate. And here is my W-2 form. And here is 2 more insurance cards, old ones, just so you can double check. It sends a health club card.
You've got plenty of ID. Okay. Good to go. We're going to get you different here right now.
I just need for you to answer these first 3 questions.
Take a look at these questions there and go over them things.
So I don't have to thumb scan.
Well, we're going to get to that. You are eventually going to have to. Yes, sir.
But not now.
Not at this point, but you will before we're done with the process.
Why?
Because it's required.
It's required by Bill Clinton in 1992, and it was instituted here in Texas in 1993. I know the code, sir. Are you going to institute his urine and blood testing when he commands you? Are you going to stick a needle in my arm when I have no criminal record?
The only answers, only questions I'm going to answer right now are concerning driver's license issuance.
You just follow orders, don't you? So you're saying you're going to deny me the constitutional right to travel if I do not submit to this digital thumb scanning?
What I will tell you, today you will not receive a duplicate driver's license if you do not submit to a thumbprint.
Okay, look, I feel like I'm being raped here.
Well, I would sit down with you for hours and try to do what I could to help you.
Then just give me my license without digitally thumb scanning.
I am not going to violate DPS policy.
Is there a religious exception?
For your exception.
Is there a religious exception?
No. No, sir, there's not.
Everyone must take the mark. A digitally enhanced mark.
I'm not talking about mark.
A digital tattoo.
I know. Your ID, you are good to go.
Yeah, well, if I'm good to go, why do you need my thumbprint?
Because it's part of the procedure of
issuing. It's part of Bill Clinton's law, isn't it? It's an executive order. It's a decree by Bill Clinton.
NCIC.
Yeah, and if I drive without a license, what's the penalties for driving without a license?
You know, I don't even want to go there.
That's right.
You know why?
I'm asking you.
It doesn't pertain to it.
You're an officer. I'm asking you the law.
I would be glad to sit down.
So you're saying I'll be committing a crime by driving if I don't take your mark?
I would be glad to do anything I can help you, sir.
Well, see, you're saying...
I'm not against you, and I understand...
Officer Ard, you're sitting here, Sergeant, and telling me that you're all friendly and you're all nice. But I'll be pulled over and given tickets. If I don't pay those, I will go to jail because of my morals and my beliefs, I will not take this. And I'm here to tell you, I already took this in 93, and many people will say, well, you've already taken it. What's your problem with it? Because now I figured out what this is, and I'm opposing all those others that are being herded in here like cattle to be thumb scanned like criminals.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
We don't even need to start there. If I know that you're not going to submit to a thumbprint, why waste your time?
See, right up front, they will drop, and people are being turned away all day here. So you're saying I pay my taxes, I'm raped by the IRS, which is criminal. You know, it's well known.
And you heard the key word submit.
Submit. He just said I must submit. I'm telling you, I've never been to jail.
I don't know. What do you want me to do for you?
I want you to give me my driver's license. I want my driver's license. I am not a criminal. I may become one today, but that's fine. You're saying you won't take me to jail at 5 if I'm still here.
No, we're not going to take you to jail.
Oh, yeah. This is against the grain of the Constitution. Look, if I don't take the mark, my right to travel is taken. You're taking my rights and telling me that it's no big deal? And now you want a urine and blood test. Bring me the document. Who has the urine and blood testing document? I need it. I'm going to pass these out to people. Ladies and gentlemen, the Federal Register, Bill Clinton, urine and blood testing plan for you. Tell your friends about it. We have got to stand against this. The states are preparing to implement this plan. This is not a joke. This is not the entire document. It gets worse. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a joke to them. Only Coach Penders matters. Only diversions like Rome, the gladiators. If I don't take this, will I not be penalized for not having a driver's license, by not being able to cash a check, by being given tickets that if I don't pay those tickets, I'll be taken to jail. I can't travel out of state. I can't get on board an airplane. And the media is talking about thumb scanning to travel. You're working with the foreign banks and the military industrial complex. This is all their idea. Read the Military War College from 1968.
They plan this. And just because you lay around doesn't mean it's not true. This is not a publicity stunt. I was a lot happier years ago before I got into all this garbage. I'm sick of sheep laying down. I wish you'd get up and do something. Makes me want to vomit. Our forefathers went to World War II and World War I and fought in the Civil War to end slavery, and it means nothing to y'all. We're a bunch of yellow-bellied weaklings. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people laying down like a bunch of jellyfish and rationalizing what's going on. People ought to be ashamed of themselves.
My brother's a cop.
Gold Star and Army.
Yes, exactly.
Now look very carefully at Mike Cox. He is head public information officer for all of Texas for the DPS. They weren't going to arrest me, but about 15 minutes into the protest, he showed up and things changed dramatically. He walked up, stared at me, turned, walked back to the back. They had a little meeting together, and then they came and arrested me.
If you don't leave now, I will be forced to arrest you.
Sir, I'm here to get a driver's license. I have never had a criminal record. It's time to go. Here I go. Get my stuff for me.
45,
he's got his black gloves on. I guess that makes him tough. I guess that makes him look like a real well-paid mercenary there.
Where's Alex?
He has to do a show tonight. Hey! Yeah, they're pushing everybody. They're pushing us. It's getting ridiculous here.
How my tax dollars pay for this building?
Yeah. He's got a couple of tax.
The DPS was very professional, but they did the classic bait and switch. They got all the troopers on one side of the building and made us think that I was coming out there.
Look at all this.
I hope we've painted you a picture of what's really happening here in the nation. I got out of jail that night with a Class C misdemeanor, and I'm taking it to court, and I'm sure I'll defeat it with a jury trial. It was a small price to pay, though, to bring light upon the biometric technologies. Well, you've seen it all during this two-hour documentary. You've seen the UN taking over our parks and the documents, the Chinese moving into some of our military bases, Oklahoma City, documentation of huge concentration camp facilities that have been sprouting up around the country since the early 80s and even before. This is America under siege. I'm not about to tell you what you can do to stop it. You've got to think for yourselves out there. You've got to get motivated and stop reacting and start acting. I'm Alex Jones. Thank you for watching. Now get out there and get motivated. America is under siege.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.